Hey guys, what's going on? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you Monday through Friday, 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content you can handle.
Sometimes weekend live streams.
Sometimes some weekend live streams. Try to stay tuned to either at Charles Mockler or at Will Updike or at Locked On Clips.
Yeah.
Anytime these fools are at a game, you're going to get tons of in-game content. So look out for that.
Did you just use fools in the third person?
Yeah.
Nice. Well done.
Also, guys, got another Tom's Urban event coming up on April 7th.
Come through.
That's Sunday. It's going to be the game against Golden State. You guys should definitely come through. In case you don't know, Tom's Urban is it's a bar, it's a restaurant, it's a watching place, it's a sanctuary.
You can pour your own beers.
It's a lot of things.
It'll be a good time. We got
and
food
it's a lot
specials.
Of yeah, there's going to be some food specials.
Big game too.
Yeah, really big game. Who knows if the entire Warriors roster will be playing?
Yeah.
It might be. You know, who knows?
Who knows?
But come through, find out. That's at Tom's Urban. That's at LA Live. You definitely want to check it out.
Yeah.
They got half off everything that pours on their happy hour. So be sure there. And anytime you're over at Staples Center, just go by. Hit them up.
Yeah, so what do we got for them today?
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a recap of the victory over the Bulls, which was on Friday. Charles and I were there.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to do another recap for you
of
the thrilling Nets
game
from last evening. I'm still reeling from it.
Also lucky enough to be there. That was such a crazy game.
It was probably the
most exciting game of the year.
Most exciting in the game of the year. One of the greatest live sporting events I've seen.
Wow. Bold.
Definitely up there.
Yeah. Can't argue against it.
And then today is Monday, so that means the freshies. We're going to be talking mostly about our guy, Shea. Touching on Shaman a little bit, too, how he's kind of come along. So, yeah, guys, stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
So, Friday, we did beat the Bulls 128-121. And, man, did this one feel uneasy up until the third quarter.
Yeah.
We kind of got, first of all, this was just a weird game in general. There was a double technical on Boylan and Doc.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into later.
Not the kind of double-double you want.
No, definitely my least favorite double-double. We'll hit you with some stats and then we'll give you some narrative stuff. Gallo led the Clippers with 27-7. Trez had 26 and 3 blocks. Lou had 21 on some fairly spotty shooting. And then Shea had, up until this point in the season, not counting Sunday, I would say maybe his best game of the year.
Oh, yeah. He's had two back-to-back really strong performances now.
He had a 17-7-7, 3 steals, and just 1 turnover.
Really great stuff.
Unbelievable. LaVine led all scorers with 31-7-7. He was playing out of his mind.
Big boy.
Robin Lopez, 22-8, killing us down low all night.
Robin Lopez was a force.
Yeah, they really should have kept feeding him. Otto Porter had 15. Bulls had 6 guys in double digits. They outshot us from the field 52% to 44%. And from 3, 52% to our 50%.
We did score more than the paint than them, though.
Yes.
50-56.
Which shocks me, given how the beginning of the game went.
Oh, yeah. And we did generate nearly double the amount of second chance points, 12-22 for us. So, yeah, some good stuff.
We really, the way this game started out, Chicago kind of just punched us in the mouth.
It was really, really bad.
They were so locked in and ready to play.
Yeah, definitely.
It was definitely a level of intensity that I don't think our guys were prepared for. We lost every quarter except for the third.
Yeah, the third, we really came out and punched him in the mouth. But that first half was really, really rough. As a team, we did end up shooting for nearly 41%, which is solid.
Great.
Sounds good enough.
Sounds good by itself.
They went for 57%. and went 25 of 44, and we went 20 of 49.
It didn't feel like they could miss. I mean, evidenced by the 60%.
Yeah.
And then the third quarter happened. And the stats from this third quarter are like the most bizarro. We have a coworker who's a Bulls fan, and he was like, yeah, the third quarter is really usually the Bulls' kryptonite. And we were like, it's our kryptonite, too. So it was like
bad third quarter teams. And just to reiterate, I know you said it at the top, but this is the only quarter of this game that we won.
Oh, yeah. The fourth quarter was not fun to watch. So the stats from the third, the Bulls went 7 of 17 for 41%. and we went 16 for 25 for 64%.
Including 5 of 8 from 3, which was like, which was the big thing. They only attempted, we went 5 of 8 from 3 in the third alone.
Yeah.
And they only had 2 3-point attempts, missing both of them.
Gallo went 5 of 6 in the third. Shea went 3 of 4. 7 turnovers for the Bulls in this quarter to our 3.
Yeah.
So the first half of the game, we attempted 7 threes.
Yeah.
It was
really rough.
Step Back Tree on Twitter was very mad about it.
They just did a really good job keeping us away from the arc, locking down the perimeter.
Yeah.
And really, you know, what changed in this third quarter was just the intensity that we brought. I think that I think that they're a kind of a young team. And I think when you get another team kind of on the ropes,
yeah.
I think there's a tendency to come out maybe lacking in the third.
Dude, they might catch you lacking outside the gas station, as we've said.
And it was clear just in this quarter that this was not the same team that we played in the first half
not
of this
at all.
Game.
And it was not the same team it was not the same Clippers team.
No.
It was a completely different, guys were hustling, there wasn't as much sunken shoulders. Also, I mean, Soldier Boy performed at halftime. That had to do something.
It cannot be discredited.
It cannot be discredited how much he did. And then the fourth quarter happened where they shot 52% and we shot 32%. We went 2 of 5 from 3. They went 5 of 6. The final few minutes of this game, it felt like watching a football game.
It really did.
When it's like there's a minute and a half left, but it takes like 15 minutes.
And up to this point, the game was pretty quick.
Yeah, the game was really fast. But it just slowed down. I mean, the whole game was kind of a classic starters getting smoked type of game.
Yeah.
They got outscored 92-75.
Yeah.
Our bench saved us 53-29. Levine, despite being guarded by Patrick Beverley, hit 5 of 8 when he was guarded by Beverley, including 3 of 4 threes.
Yeah, he's too big for Beverley to guard. I think
he's huge, man.
I think that it really depends on how the player's game is.
Yeah.
But Levine did find ways to get around him, score over him.
You want to talk about Lopez?
Yeah, let's talk about Lopez.
Oh, man, he sunned Zubats, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah, he got whatever he wanted inside. Nobody could score in the paint when Lopez was in there. Gallo didn't want to go at him.
Tried.
Could not go at him.
Yeah.
It really cut off any sort of driving momentum that we could get going into the paint.
And their initial plan in the first half was, because they had size on us pretty much top to bottom.
Yeah.
They were bigger, they weighed more, they had size everywhere on top to bottom, and that game plan worked in the first half.
Yeah.
And then something happened in the third where they went away from it.
Yeah.
Gallo won the battle versus Lauri Markkanen. Mm-hmm. He held him to 40% shooting, and I thought it was odd they didn't try and feed Markkanen more. He only had 10 points, and he took half as many shots as Levine, which I guess is kind of what happens when Levine is on
the
team.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Gallo is a better match defensively for Markkanen.
Yeah, for sure.
He's got a lot of size on him. It was clear, too, when Markkanen was guarding Gallo on the other side of the floor. Gallo had zero respect for Markkanen. He was launching threes over him, like staring him him into the windows of his soul.
And Markkanen was just like, he didn't seem to respect Gallo's shot either. There were a couple mid-range shots where
he was not closing out.
Exactly.
At all.
Like, Gallo would have the ball just standing there looking at Markkanen, and Markkanen would do the thing where he had his hand up, but he was still so far away.
Like 4 feet away.
Yeah, it meant absolutely nothing. But I mean, that's how you get 27 points.
He was a little. Can we just talk about Markkanen for 1 second?
Sure.
He looked a lot more passive than I would have thought.
It's the haircut.
Maybe it is the haircut.
But I think when Levine is dominating so much, he's such a ball dominant guy that it's like, we noticed if Levine doesn't have the ball, he's hanging out.
Yeah, if Levine doesn't have the ball actively in his hand, he is providing you
not
zero.
A whole lot. Yeah.
I would say zero. He doesn't really even move a whole lot off ball. They don't use him to run cuts or like those. I don't know.
It almost worked for him. So the fourth quarter, also, I think the fourth quarter was so good for the Bulls because Doc and Boylan both got tossed with a minute left in the third.
Mm-hmm.
And this was because Trez had set a couple perfectly legal screens at half court.
Perfectly legal screens, yeah.
That the Bulls were not calling out.
Yeah, and somebody went down hard.
Ryan, Arcediano? I cannot remember his last name.
You're close. I actually don't know how to pronounce it.
He got leveled by Trez, which makes total sense. And Trez was standing. These are screens where Trez is there for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because they're running them off our inbounds plays. So Boylan,
it's Ryan Archie Diak. Ryan Archie Diakono.
All right, got
sorry.
It.
Sorry. I just wanted to make sure we got that right.
He got leveled. Boylan was supposedly yelling at Doc for our guys to set better screens. And Doc...
No, what I was told, what Doc said was not set better screens. What Boylan said to Doc was that your guys are dirty and like this and that. He was saying stuff about the team. And Doc said that he had... He was at no point trying to address Boylan.
No.
He was trying to talk to the ref.
Yeah.
And just explain that, no, like, that's a basketball screen. That's a legal screen. And Boylan kind of came at him with the narrative that the players were dirty and the team was dirty. And Doc said in the post game.
This is also a minute left, so they've already given up 45 points in the third quarter at this point.
Yeah.
Real Doc's, dirty team.
Doc said in the post game that, like, he doesn't really believe in going at other coaches.
Look, you never talk about
teams.
Other coaches, guys. Unless someone, like, punches a player in the face.
Yeah.
I would say.
So then he said. That he told him that it like they were screens, and if he wanted them to not like that, maybe their team should be calling out screens. Although he was quick to say
animated,
and he also was quick to say that I did not use that polite of phrasing when I explained it to Boylan.
So they both got tossed, which was an insane move by the ref. I also thought
absolutely,
but
that was also described by Doc as like he thought it was somewhat of a political move. They didn't want to with two coaches kind of yelling at each other on the sideline. They didn't want to. Spend time to find out like who had initiated this
they're just
or
like,
how it started
it
and they didn't want to necessarily assess blame to one or the other.
Yeah.
So the political move was to just
get them out.
double text.
It was very weird. We got the win though. It definitely energized the Bulls. They came out a lot harder in the fourth.
Absolutely.
But,
absolutely. And the whole team rallied around Boylan on this. Zach LaVine offered to pay his fine.
Good. I enjoy hitching your wagon to Jim Boylan, Bulls players.
I'm going to disagree with you on this point. I think that it's great that this team that's been through like so much turmoil is having, for all intents and purposes, a wasted season.
Yeah, partly because of Jim Boylan.
I don't think so.
You don't think making adults run suicides and comparing yourself
to Popovich?
I do
not. The Bulls sucked before Boylan became head coach.
No, I agree with that. But part of the reason why they suck still is Jim Boylan.
I mean, like, yeah, for sure. I like, jury is out on whether he's a great coach or not. That's fine. But I do think that when you're a team that has this kind of, like, locker room issue, you've had some turnover, you have a lot of people unsure, like, what their future is with the team, having these kind of, these galvanizing moments are good for that kind of team.
Yeah. I guess if they won, I would have liked it more, but... Lost.
They still
We got the win, which is all that matters. Coming up after this, we're going to be doing a recap of the absolute nail-biter against the Nets last night.
Oh, yeah.
But first, another reminder, y'all, head out to Tom's Urban. It's right next to Staples Center. We go there pretty much after every game that we do press for.
Yeah, every game.
Yeah, half off everything that pours on the weekends, which is fantastic. 70 big screen TVs. If you want to watch 70 TVs at once, you absolutely can.
For you counters out there.
50 taps with local brews and imports. You can pour your own beers on the You Pour floor. Check it out for March Madness. They will have every single game. Maybe watch some potential Clippers playing in the tournament. Who knows? Maybe some second round picks.
Yeah.
All right. So last night, I mean, what a game.
Yeah. In a nail biter, we will vaulted the Clippers over the Nets. 116 to 119.
You could say he willed us to victory.
I will never say that.
Doc, there's a great question after the game. Someone asked Doc to describe that game, and he said, I can't.
Yeah, so it was...
Which is a perfect explanation.
It was interesting. It was definitely a game, I would say, like, of rhythms, of runs.
We were down 19 at one point. They were down 12 in the third.
Yeah, there were multiple instances where people were going on, you know, the 12, 15, 20-point unanswered runs.
Yeah.
Or
early
sparsely
fouls.
Interrupted. Yeah, a lot of fouls. Only one player for the Nets ended up, Roddy and Kurucs, ended up fouling out.
With, like, he had five fouls. And then the fourth quarter started, and he was playing the first minute of the fourth quarter. immediately got a sixth foul. Yeah. Was just done. Like, he was having a rough game
but
defensively.
But so many Nets players were very close. Joe Harris had four. D'Angelo Russell had four. Ed Davis had five. And for the Clippers, Bev ended up with four, as well as Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green.
Yeah.
Which is coincidentally also the same number of Clippers who ended up with double doubles.
Hey.
Three.
So, yeah, I'll hit some stats for you guys. Lou led the Clippers with an efficient 25 on 8 of 16 shooting. Gallo had 20, 11, 5. Trez had 20 and 10. Shea had his best game of the year with 14, 10 dimes, plus a huge three late in the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
Three players got double-double. Absolutely insane. For the Nets, this was the D'Angelo Russell show. It was fantastic to watch him play. He absolutely crushed us. He had the game-tying assist to Jared Allen. He finished with 32, 5, and 10. Jamari Carroll had 22 and 7 off the bench, and Jared Allen added a humble 13 and 11.
Yeah, so early on, I thought that Jared Allen was going to be more of a factor.
He seemed to get gassed as the game went on.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what the issue was or if he was just like getting in his head or doubting himself or something, but in that first quarter, it seemed like he was soaking up every single available rebound.
Yeah.
He was always in the right spot. He ended with two blocks in this game, but I swear, it felt like five.
He altered a lot of shots.
Definitely altered a lot of shots.
I like your note where you ask, where do we stand on Jared Allen?
Yeah.
He's great for the 1990s.
I agree. So this was one of those things, like, I've been pretty high on Jared Allen.
Most people are.
I like the prospect of him. Seeing him in this
like the idea.
Yeah, I like the idea, yeah. Seeing him in this game last night, though, I did feel as though he was neutralized a little bit.
He can only really defend down the rim and around the rim and dunk.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
And yeah, so like offensively, he doesn't merit like a whole lot of attention.
Yeah. We forgot about him sometimes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But
he finished with, what did you say, 13?
Yes. And 11.
But a plus minus of negative 15.
Yeah, not good in a game that you only lose by three.
Yeah.
The last 44 seconds of this game had kind of like everything.
Definitely.
So the game is 116 to 111 Clippers with 44 seconds to go. Gallo is trying to inbound the ball, and we got hit with a 5-second violation. Felt like a quick count.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, it really did.
It genuinely felt like a quick count.
I did not understand what the violation was.
No,
it happened
not at
so
all.
Quickly.
Damari Carroll, the Nets get the ball. Damari Carroll makes a layup and gets fouled.
Yeah.
We give up the and one. It is now a 2-point game. It is 116.
This was Trez's only bad play of the game.
It is 116 to 114 at this point. Beverly then misses a three. I don't know who was telling him to take this three.
Yeah.
I'm not against it, but it was also for the situation seemed kind of odd.
I mean, to be fair, though, Beverly was shooting 80% on the night.
Yeah.
And 67% from three. So I do understand. I do a little bit understand the idea.
I understand the idea. Still maybe would have gone down low at the time. Trez was absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
Jared Allen gets the board. He immediately gives it to D'Angelo Russell, who finds him with a gorgeous pass to lead him to the basket to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers take a full timeout. The Clippers then inbound the ball.
Magic happens.
There is one of the worst screen attempts by Danilo Gallinari of all time.
Yeah, so yeah, just to set the stage.
I posted this on Locked On Clips if you want to watch the clip.
Yeah, just to set the stage, Doc said that the final play was a pick and roll.
With Gallo and Lou.
With Gallo and Lou.
Love it.
At the top of the arc.
Yeah.
Gallo
kind of fakes like he's setting a screen, but he's supposed to be setting a screen.
Yeah. I don't know who he's faking. Himself?
I think so. I don't know.
He goes to set a screen.
And the two Nets players just kind of like morph around him.
Two Nets players just morph around him. And one is kind of slow. Like he's a little bit further off, but definitely trailing on Lou.
Yeah.
So Lou has two full defenders on him and one like maybe a sprint away.
But then Lou goes to his left. Switches a three-pointer as time expires. Absolute pandemonium.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Trez had a fantastic quote. Someone asked him what they thought when Lou shot the ball, and he said, I thought game over.
Yeah, and then I guess Lou Will was chastised a little bit by his teammates for his celebration
quote-unquote,
of the moment.
Yeah, Beverly gave it a 3 out of 10.
If you haven't ever gotten the pleasure of like seeing an interview with Lou Will or something post game, he's like the chillest cat. Like he is He is so cool.
Yes. He like, absolutely is.
He's got to be the coolest guy in the NBA.
You have that autographed hat for him.
I do.
And then they asked Lou about, they go, what did you think about your game winner? He said, nothing. I just shot the ball.
Yeah.
Up until this point, I think he was 1 of 5 from 3.
Something like that.
And Doc said it in the post game. He goes, you want guys that will go 0 for 50.
Yeah.
He had a rough shooting night on Friday. Meant absolutely nothing.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you don't give him the Sixth Man of the Year after this. I mean, he already should have had it before this, but this is...
Interesting stat note, another reporter brought up. This was technically the first game winner by Lou Williams. Yeah, buzzer beater by Lou Williams. Yeah. And
which
I
is
guess
defined analytically by some, like...
It's defined analytically as being the last possible shot.
Yeah.
So, like, if there's a second left after you make the shot that leads your team over, apparently it doesn't count as a buzzer beater.
I feel like it's...
It's still a clutch point. Like, it still would count as, like, a clutch score.
Yeah.
Which I think is maybe more valid than ESPN's buzzer
game
beater
winners,
stat.
I was gonna say, game winners is more valuable because how many players have more than... I'm going to say 3 true buzzer beat, like walk off.
Oh, buzzer beaters
you know
in the
what
sense
I'm saying?
Of like it is the last possible.
Yeah. Thing. Like yeah. How many can possibly have more than like 3 or 4?
Yeah.
If you have 4, I feel like you have like a statue built for you by one team. Like,
probably. I mean, I'm ready to build Lou Will a statue tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm ready to build just every single person.
I don't have the talent to make it, but give me the raw materials. I'll work on it for the rest of my
life. We'll figure it out. real quick, we got to talk about Garrett Temple and Jermichael Green.
Oh, yeah.
So Jermichael Green was kind of in every right spot possible last night.
Definitely.
He went 3 of 5 shooting. He had 6 boards. He just looked great.
Yeah,
he knows where to be. The ball finds him.
He finished with like a -2 on the night, and I think that part of that was there was some interesting lineups going around.
There was some
weird
stuff.
And one such lineup involved Lou Will, Garrett Temple, Jermichael Green, Wilson Chandler, Montrezl Harrell.
It was a little disjointed.
I like the idea of this lineup. It seemed clear that they hadn't had enough time to really work that much together.
Yeah, would have liked to see maybe Ty Wall in this lineup.
Yeah.
Who apparently doesn't get playing time anymore.
Jermichael Green's only egregious error to me was they were running a set, and it was clear that the ball was supposed to go to the corner. He threw the corner. No man was there.
Oh, yeah. That I blame that on everybody.
Yeah.
I blame, like, that was the worst
turnover. I think
that
play was actually drawn up for Shea. And I think that he went to cut to the top of the elbow.
Yeah.
And like the in the normal set, he was expected to be in the corner.
I mean, that was like
But I'm not blaming Shea for the listeners out there. I'm not assessing blame.
I'm blaming everybody cuz someone's got to call that out.
It's a little bit on everyone for the miscommunication, but I think that was Jermichael Green's only egregious error. I would say that's the only thing that like takes away from
That was the worst turnover of the whole season for us. Luckily it didn't matter. Garrett Temple only had 6 points.
Yes, but he finished with the third highest plus minus of anybody on the team with 13, a plus minus of 13.
6 points, 6 boards, 3 steals.
Yeah.
And despite the foul trouble, he had 4 fouls, he bounced back.
He was just everywhere, though.
Yeah.
If you were to
watch
this
game. It was a
little
frustrating in the beginning.
Yeah. And I hope that this performance, you know, while it's not like eye-popping necessarily when you look at the stat line. If you were watching the game, I hope that this is a game that Garrett Temple is able to look at and maybe get some confidence from just having such a strong performance.
For sure, and we got a little bit. Also, Shea, career high in assists.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. He hit a 3 with less than a minute left to put us up by 10.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge.
Yeah.
His confidence was fantastic. I posted a great clip of Doc talking about how he's coachable. They love giving him the ball down the stretch. It just works.
It does.
We're going to talk about Shea a little more on the freshies. But first...
Guys, the first weekend on the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year.
University of Montana 15 seed. Let's go.
I mean, your two hosts here are standing to make a lot of money.
betting on the University of Montana Grizzlies.
But whether you like filling out a bracket... Picking a national champion, predicting first round upsets like UM over Michigan, pen it down. Or will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? You know, if you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everybody, even you, multiple bracket guy. Is that you, Charles?
That's absolutely not me.
I thought you had like four or five brackets going.
I prick my finger and I fill it out in blood so no one can question the results.
But MyBookie has been in business for years, unlike your shady bookie who like hasn't been in legitimate business for any years.
He doesn't even have a website.
Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is they pay out fast when you win. Talking 48 hours.
2 days.
So bet with the best. Then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash. And great news for you Locked On listeners. If you deposit with MyBookie today with the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, you're going to get a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
So we can... Welcome to the Freshies. It's our Monday segment. Talking about Shea still.
Yeah.
He's been killing it in March.
Oh, yeah.
He went through a bit of that skid, which makes total sense for a rookie.
Yeah.
And currently, he's 13 of 19 from three in the month of March, mm-hmm. which is, I don't think anyone expected that after the beginning of the year.
No.
You know, his shot looks
very
smoother.
Impressive. Shot looks great. The work, like, you see him working with Sam Cassell every day.
He's putting in the work, which is so great.
Yeah.
He's more mature than most rookies, I would say.
Yes.
He just seems to be able to handle... I mean, he's starting for a playoff team right now.
My only hesitation here is talk to the media more, my dude.
You got to let him do his thing. He's getting used to it.
Part of the job.
I get that is fair. He does the post-game interviews.
Only on court.
I respect that. Leave it all on the court. He's a smart guy. You want to talk about Shamit a little bit?
Yeah, man. So Shamit, I guess, you know, we knew coming in that he was going to be a pretty solid scorer.
Yes.
What I guess I've been impressed with, especially just in these last two games, has been the composure.
Mm-hmm.
He went scoreless in that first half against Chicago.
Damn.
He was scoreless.
Yeah.
And he kept shooting. He finished the night with, I think, 12.
That's what's up. I didn't realize he was scoreless that first half.
Yeah, he was scoreless the entire first half. Never seemed to lack confidence.
Never seemed to
doubt himself.
He went 4 of 9 last night,
mm-hmm.
all from 3-point range.
Yeah.
They know he has one job on this team.
Yeah.
And it's make most of your 3-pointers, which he kind of did.
I asked Doc a little bit about Shamit and if he was impressed by his composure. And he said that he was. Just in the fact that he's the kind of guy that he sees with that all-star ability to go 0-for-50
yeah.
and to keep shooting. His job is to shoot. He keeps shooting. We talked to Landry a little bit in the locker room after the game. And someone asked the question, you know, what was it like when you were missing all those shots in the first half, still referring to the Chicago game. And he said, you know, I don't know. Like, I was just shooting the shots.
What's the point?
They didn't go in. So you just keep
Such
shooting
a great
the shots.
Answer.
And it, like, it sounds...
It's a bit dickish, but it's on point and accurate.
It wasn't, though. He's actually, like, he's a super humble dude.
Oh, for sure.
And it's, like, it's a kind of a blunt answer.
Yeah.
But I don't know what other answer I'd want to hear.
Yeah, I guess...
Like, I don't know if I'd care if he was going into the machinations of, like, oh, you know, I might have released a little bit too high, too early on that first attempt.
Yeah.
And on attempt two, you know, I was really...
Yeah, he just runs back every single attempt. That'd be cool.
I'm sure that he knows that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But I do, like, I mean, the overall mentality of just, like, you just got to keep... You have to keep shooting.
Yeah.
There's only one way to score.
Yeah, he's like, I've been doing this my whole life. You know, you shoot the shots. Sometimes they go in. Sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't, you guys. The future is absolute. I mean, I just can't believe we got Shea and Shamit locked up for 2 more years after this.
Yeah.
Making pennies.
Yeah.
Which they deserve, obviously, more is all I'm saying. It's just great for the team.
Zoo, restricted free agent.
We were kind of talking with Sabrina right over at SB Nation. What, like, we don't really know how good Zoo can be yet. Or if he is at that line of good.
I've been impressed early on. The biggest thing recently has been the touch is not there.
Which also, I'm just like, I feel like I can't even keep talking about that because he has one broken finger and one finger that has, like, no cartilage or whatever the hell it is.
There's some
ligament
sort of
issue.
Ligament issue. But yeah, he finished 1 of 9 in that game against the Nets. And it was rough to watch.
Yeah, and that's where Jared Allen does well. He does well against traditional centers like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And
he did still grab 8 boards.
Yeah.
You know?
He does one thing good usually every game. If it's not both things,
that's a good point.
He'll do one thing really well.
That's a good point.
Guys, that about wraps it up for us here on Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tomorrow we're going to have a preview of the game against the Pacers.
That's correct.
Big game. Kind of worried about that one.
The Pacers are on the second night of a back-to-back. I believe they play tonight.
Great.
And the Pacers have, I think if the Pacers win tonight,
yeah,
or if the Heat lose tonight,
they clinch a spot.
The Pacers clinch their playoff spot in the East. Must be nice if you could, you know, lose 13 of your next games and still be in the playoffs.
Must be nice. We'll be live streaming that episode recording, so have some questions for Twitter Tuesday ready and send them to us. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for tuning in.